All right, let's read it together. We are generational builders, empowered by the anointing of manifold grace to make a lasting impact on our generation. Keep reading. Those in need of the gospel, individuals who once transformed, will go on to impact their generation. We are committed to building strong foundations for youth, individuals, marriages, and families, shaping generational leaders from generation to generation. Welcome to Generation Ministries. Amen. Let's read our declaration. I smiled in the middle of that. Amen, because I just see so much breakthrough coming for the people of God, and how the enemy has really tried to block your prayer, cause you to doubt your prayer. Amen. But I just feel heavenly support descending into the room. Even amen. 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 You gotta discern what's going on. Let's do our declaration. Come on, let's read it with enthusiasm. Father, I thank you for the word. As I receive, meditate, and obey your word, I become the word. Then I can do what your word says I can do. I can have what your word says I can have. The power of your word impacts my family for 1,000 generations. Amen, amen. This is not an announcement, and stay close, because we'll see how we're going to flow today. But we talked about Sunday school before service and having 30-minute block of Sunday school on Sunday from 9:45 to 10:15, using what I believe God dropped in our house, I am a Jesus witness, amen, to begin to really talk about what it means to be a servant of Jesus, in covenant with Jesus, be a witness with Jesus, and that witness even has a covenantal meaning, which means oath, pledge, amen. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That blood was the covenantal cost to release the new covenant to the believer. It was by blood, because in the Old Testament you had to have blood, and we'll get there, but so there was the shedding of the blood, and then the word of the testimony was a covenantal decree. I am loyal and I am committed to Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says right after that verse that they didn't fear their lives even unto death. Covenant is deep. Covenant is deep. And so I talked about being a Jesus witness in disciple class, because I talked with Brother James this week, and he's been away for about 4 months. He's been in rehab, and we've been trying to reach him and contact him. I finally talked to him, and he's at the veteran hospital recuperating because he lost the ability to walk. And he said it was so strange, because he was walking one day, and then the next something went wrong. Amen. He couldn't walk. And now he's starting to walk a little bit. He's getting a little better. Amen. But he's on that road. But you know what he said to me in all that he's going through? He said this to me. He said, Pastor, I'm up here at the VA hospital, and I'm witnessing to people, and I'm telling about Jesus, and I really need that teaching on prayer, so I can release it to others. Now, you know, sometimes us, man, we be in our shape. We like, get me out, Lord, heal me. Somebody else said, we're like, hey, man, I understand you're sick, but I'm trying to get my legs back. But he said, no, I want that teaching. I said, we got to do more. And so I began to think about that block on Sunday morning where we could begin to pardon every believer. Amen. Every believer go out here and minister healing. Every believer go out here and cast out devils. Every believer and go work miracles and signs and wonders in Jesus' name. It's part of our covenantal right. Amen. So that's something that's coming up, and you'll get the dates of that real soon. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 6. We're going to talk about covenantal prayer. Amen. Covenantal prayer. Matthew 6, 5 through 13 in the King James Version. Amen. To give us context. And let's read it together. It's only a few verses. Let's read this together. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Y'all got it on the board? All right. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall what? Reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. The religious people would use all kind of sayings and cliches and legal language. But he said, don't do that as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask of him. That's a blessing. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for grace upon the transmission and the receiving of your word. And we bind every enemy that will come to try to steal this word out of the hearts of your people. We focus in. Let even the stony heart receive the word. In the name of Jesus, we ask for your help, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you for an open heaven over this place. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We open our hearts to a new level of prayer. We open our hearts to covenantal prayer. We open our hearts. Teach us, Lord. We say like the disciples, teach us how to pray. Can you lift your hands and just worship him right there in a moment? In the name of Jesus, teach us to pray. Take us to a new level of prayer. Come on and worship. Take us to a new level of prayer. We want it. 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 In the name of Jesus. We want it. We want it. We want it. In the name of Jesus. We want it. We want it. I said something on Tuesday. And we talked about who influenced us in covenant, because covenant takes commitment, loyalty, honesty, intimacy. Got to be committed to the covenant you cut with God. And I talked about you know, my father wasn't present in our life. He was in and out a little bit, in and out a lot. And I talked about sometimes he would break his word. I didn't really learn how to depend on someone, because I would have to stand outside, because he didn't like to wait. He said, I'm coming by a certain time, and then I'll be outside at that time, because I didn't want to fuss, and he wouldn't come. And I did that a lot. And so sometimes we deflect and we view God like our natural mother and father. And so it was really kind of, I don't know, I think it was kind of revelatory to me, because I said, you know what, I don't, even like I'm a grown man now, and I don't ask a lot. I'll ask for people. I'll ask for the church. And I do ask for something, but I don't ask a lot. And I'll work. And I've been blessed. And God favored. I mean, we have favor. God is our covenant of right. But when I was saying that, I said, man, I got to start asking for more. Because God wants us to ask for more. And it's not about things. It's about relationship. Because the Lord says that he's our Father. We didn't choose that word in the Bible. He uses the word Father. And a father wants to do, any loving father wants to do for their children. Just play with me. We'll just flow. I don't know if I'm going to get to these notes. I don't know how many. We'll see. Any loving father wants to do for his children. Pastor Gail, she didn't even really hardly see her father. So we came together. We both came together. We, you know, both from homes, single parent homes. It was so interesting to hear people talk about their experience, how they learned commitment, how they learned loyalty. And you know, Pastor Gail had her experience. And you know, sometimes we, because of the example given to us, we haven't learned how to be loyal. We haven't learned how to be committed. We haven't learned how to be faithful. We haven't learned how to be a man or a woman of our word. Because we didn't see that model. So when we come to God and he asks for so much, he says, listen, if you come up to me, you got to take up your cross and follow me. You got to deny yourself. You got to die to yourself. Well, how do I do it? I've never seen that before. Man, that's a big ask. You think about it. It would have been easier for me to learn or tap into being unfaithful in relationships than faithful. In a sense, because that's the male role. And especially, I believe that men, even though I take nothing from women, I take nothing from women. My mother and grandmother raised me in the church. I thank God for them. But I believe men establish a foundation in their home. Not to say you can't have one. Listen to what I'm saying. And they model that integrity. And they model that loyalty. And they model that faithfulness. It's extremely important to do what you say you're going to do. So I said, even at a young age, I said, man, when I get a family, I'm going to fulfill my word to them. They'll never have to worry about me not doing what I said I would do. And if I can't do it, I'll tell them, listen, I planned on doing this, but I can't do this. We're going to do this. My kids are all grown. They'll tell you, Daddy kept his word. And I said, I'll provide for my family. I said, I will provide for my family, and my family will tell you, my wife ain't never had to tell me to go to work. Because of what I saw. I want to be different. And so even at 18, I didn't know what marriage was, I didn't know nothing. I knew I was going to provide. If I had to work 2-3 jobs, I was going to provide. I was going to keep my covenant. Here's something funny. Pastor Gail and I, we were friends for a while. Pastor Gail and I were friends for almost a year, I would say, before I slid into her DMs. Because she told me to get away from her. Because she's just a few years older, and she told me to get away. But I wouldn't go away. Because she was fine, and she still is fine. She still takes my breath away when she comes into a room. And that's decades later. She does. I look at Pastor Gail, be getting ready for church, and she'll tell him, why are you staring at me? I mean, what you expect me to do with such fineness? Oh, right. When we were dating, I was so stuck on provision, I ain't taking no flowers over the house. I took her a bag of leg quarters. I took a bag of leg quarters over to the house, man. I mean, that wasn't the only thing. I mean, I did other things, but I'm just saying, hey, amen, I guess maybe the refrigerator was looking bare. I don't know. Hey, amen. But I took some food over the house. So y'all be looking for flowers. You better get a man to bring some leg quarters over to that house. So if you bring some leg quarters, you know that man gonna take care of you. Lord Jesus. I didn't take him by no car. I had no car. I took him on my bike, I think. That's what I had. But in covenant, it's about what you have. It's about your commitment to do what you can, to be loyal to your commitment and your oath. To be like, I don't care what anybody else is doing. Or anybody else is rolling. I'm gonna model this commitment. I'm gonna do it on the level that I can do it. Now that's relationship. That's relationship. You don't compromise covenant. Covenant is not predicated upon your emotions. Covenant is all out commitment. That's why I like that we do premarital counseling before we marry somebody. We should, as believers, accept nothing less than covenant and godly covenant and biblical covenant for every aspect of our lives. Let me say it again. We should accept nothing less. As how many believers in the house? Raise your hand if you're a believer. We should accept nothing less than biblical covenant, that standard in our lives, in our marriage, as we relate to one another, in our walk with God. Nothing, biblical covenant is the standard. The way God wants it done is the standard. I said the way God wants it done is the standard. Anything else, then when we compromise covenant in these areas, what we do is we block the blessing of God from coming in and through that covenant. God flows through covenant. I said God flows through covenant. That's why the Bible says that if I don't treat my wife right, my very prayers can be hindered because I have cut off the covenant blessing that can flow into my relationship and my home, amen, because I have deviated from God's standard. Amen. We got to do it the way God said do it. We want financial blessing. And well, we won't give our finances according to God's covenant. But we want the blessing. God wants the covenant. He loves us. But he is so holy that he has framed how we relate to him. And we relate to him through covenant, because covenant is relational. So young guy, I was bussing tables, washing dishes. But I decided to take care of my family. So you know what happened? That oath, that loyalty. I'm going through some things. I ain't talking about perfect. But that desire, you know what God did? He said, his heart is right. So what? I'm going to take that covenant and I'm going to put my blessing on it. I was talking to somebody about peace. And I'm going to end up in prayer. Watch. I'm going to end up in prayer. And I was talking about how sometimes, you know, I could talk for guys. I'm just going to talk for guys. Sometimes it's easier to dismiss ourselves from a confrontation than to engage in a confrontation because we're going to get out-talked and we don't want the drama. Basically, we just want some peace. Amen. If you could say it in two sentences, you'd have our attention. But we got to say it in a lot of words. Amen. We're going to dismiss ourselves. It's just a lot to bear. That's all right, brothers. Don't say nothing. Just look straight ahead. Don't even. Because we want it in bite-sized pieces. As I scan the room. And so sometimes, because in our covenant with our relationship, we're not just providers, but we're also protectors. And we bring safety. And we bring stability to a house. And so just because you get peace for a moment, that's not the covenant of peace that God wants you to have in your house. That's just kicking the ball down the street. You're going to have to come back and revisit that thing. You just got peace for the day. The peace that God wants us to have in our relationships is the peace that comes through conflict. Because you don't really get peace without conflict. That's why the Bible says that Jesus bore the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He paid the price for our peace. He took upon us the chastisement so that we can have peace with God. But his peace that Jesus gave did not come absence of conflict. He had to bear the stripes and give his body for peace so we can have peace in our relationship with God. So in our homes, we have to have conflict sometimes without sinning, without crossing the line of disrespect and dishonor. But we have to have conversations so we can work this thing out so that we can have peace because that's our covenant right. Amen. This past week, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but this past week, Pastor Gail came to me and she said, listen, I need you to take the dryer balls out of the dryer before you use the dryer. Because the balls sometimes will end up in my jogging pants, leg, or pocket. So she wanted me to take the balls out the dryer. Well, I didn't agree with that. See, there's conflict. Expectation. She has an expectation. I'm not willing to meet that expectation. We're not going to do that. I said, this is what we're going to do. Respectfully. These are your balls. So you take them out the dryer when you're done. Amen. See? Conflict. Nothing sinful, people. You're only talking about dryer balls, but I want you to hear me. But then, resolution. Pastor Gill said, you know what? I am going to take my balls out the dryer. Now, and in that matter, we have established peace. Now, so, a lot of times it's a lot more than that. But I just want to give you that as an example. Let me share something else with you. Then I'm going to get into prayer. We shared on Tuesday about if you have someone in your life that is willing to take intimacy beyond the point of their covenant relationship with you, they are dishonoring you. My commitment and an individual's commitment to you should be equal to their level of covenant. That's why, young ladies, you don't give your body to a guy who don't want to cut covenant. You do not give them your highest prized possession, and they don't want to commit to you. A man that asks that from you and don't want to cut covenant with you is devaluing you. You are worth the covenant. I say you are worth the commitment. I say you are worth the loyalty. God gives us covenant to protect us. God gives us covenant as parameters of relationship. God gives us covenant. He is a covenant God, a covenant keeping God. When we think about prayer, think about, we often process this through, like, I'll ask God for something and I'll have faith that He'll do it, and I'll hope He does it, or we'll pray the prayer at night, you know, now lay me down to sleep, and we'll pray over our meal. But the Lord's Prayer is different than that. And prayer is more than that. Just like Psalms 23, when David had the revelation of the Lord being his shepherd, and we looked at that as a covenantal prayer, covenantal decree, so is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is covenantal. What do I mean by that? It embraces the reality and the revelation that God is our Father. It gives the believer the right and the permission to bring God's mandate, desire, and agenda into the earth. God has an obligation and has made commitment to the earth. Some people think the earth gonna get worse and worse and all that. Now, God established the earth from generation to generation. Prayer is the vehicle by which God's covenant is manifested in the earth. Without prayer, there's no release of promise. Without prayer, there's no release of dominion. That's God's agreement, His covenantal agreement. So it's not just, it's bigger than the meal that we're about to eat. It's bigger than the, amen, before we go to bed. That's okay to pray that. And so it's bigger than the trip we're about to take. Amen, keep us safe on this flight. Amen, that's good. Amen, but prayer is God's covenantal vehicle to do things in the earth. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Pull up Genesis 1, 27 through 31. If we get this, our prayers, we'll pray from a point of expectation. I love what we came up with in Coffee and Conversation Time. We were talking about Lazarus. And we made the decree, said, Father, thank you that you hear me. You always hear me. Because that's what a believer does. God loves the prayer of His people. God says that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person avails much, has much impact. Come on, somebody say, thank you, Father. that you hear me. You always hear me. Say it again. Thank you, Lord, that you hear me. You always hear me. That's my covenantal position. He always hears you. He always hears you. He always hears you. When we don't know loyalty, we don't know faithfulness, we have to learn it from God. He always hears us. Matter of fact, even in this, in what we read in Matthew 6, and I'll go to Genesis 1 in a minute. Amen. He says, your father has, he knows what you need before you ask. He's already taken an account of everything you need. Genesis 1. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God created them, male and female. So I've been created in the image of God. Next verse. God blessed them, said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. So hold up. God blessed them, the ones he created. They had the privilege, the power, and the authority to be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and what? Subdue it. In other words, have dominion over it. Rule over what? The fish in the sea. The fish I just created. Amen. You rule over them. And what? The birds in the sky. You rule over them. Over every living creature that moves on the earth, you rule over them. Next verse. Then God says, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be what? Yours for food. So it's a resource to you. There's a resource to you. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, what did he say? He says, I give every green plant for food. That's pretty much everything, isn't it? He says, I give you dominion over everything. Next verse. God saw that what he made, that he had made, and it was very good. There was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So Adam and Eve, they're born with authority. They're born to have dominion. They're given dominion over God's creation. He created them in his image and gave them dominion. God says, I have this heaven. I have heaven. I have the whole universe. Now I'm going to create a people that will have the earth. I'm going to give them dominion over an earth. I'm going to give them dominion to rule. I'm going to give them a kingdom. There'll be a king, and the earth will be their domain. There'll be a king, and the earth will be their domain. It's God's desire. That's his covenant with his people. The earth doesn't rule you. You rule over the earth. It's a hard thing to get across sometimes. Because sometimes we feel like we're under the control of circumstances. That things dictate our lives when we don't see ourselves dictating things in the earth and ruling over the earth. It's nice to say it. It's nice to hear it. But have the faith to exercise that level of dominion. Well, you say, well, Pastor, they lost that dominion. We don't have that dominion. They lost that dominion. God comes to Abraham to establish and to reestablish that dominion. God doesn't forget his will, his desire. Sometimes he has to move to another generation or to another family. Amen. But what God wants accomplished in the earth, he's going to see to it that it's accomplished. Why? Because he's a covenant-keeping God. And God has covenant with the earth. God has covenant with the earth. He did it with Noah. He says, listen, I'm going to cut a covenant. I'm never going to destroy the earth by flood again. Here's a rainbow. Amen. It's a visual confirmation of my covenant. Amen. That I'm going to have a covenant. God has covenant with the earth. The earth is best served in the hands and the authority of the believer. Somebody received it. Let's go, and I'm going to, let's go to Genesis 15. Amen. 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 Sometimes we get so caught up. We get so caught up, man. Well, I mean, and I understand paying the bill. Amen. That's right. Dealing with kids. I understand. Amen. Dealing with those things. Amen. But they all come under the authority of the believer. We get so distracted by little things, we pass on the greater dominion that we should exercise. We get so caught up on in carnal things. Amen. Amen. And we miss the big picture of having dominion. Take care of God's, the kingdom agenda. Take care of what God has given, amen, as a responsibility to believer. Everything is a line up, people of God. Here's Abraham. 12th chapter, he comes to Abraham. He says, I'm going to set you apart. I want you to go to the land, amen, that I have for you. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you the enemy's land. Amen. He said, why? How God going to evict people? Well, the earth is the Lord's. So God can do, he can evict some, amen, and establish others. Somebody say amen. After this word, the Lord came to Abram in a vision. In 15th chapter, God is reinstituting his covenant and reminding, amen, Abram of his covenant. Sometimes, people of God, we got to be reminded of God's covenant and commitment to us. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield and very great reward. But Abram says, Sovereign Lord, you know how we do. What can you give me since I remain childless? All these promises you've made, and I don't even have, amen, a starting point. It doesn't even look like I can produce what you're telling me I could produce. But if God gives you his covenant, amen, is enough, amen, and it will cause things to produce that were barren. It'll cause things to come into your life that you feel like you're too old for. It'll cause things to come into your life that you feel like you're too broke for. It'll cause things to come into your life that you don't feel like you're smart enough for. It'll cause things to come into your life that you're not even connected for. Because it's solely based on his word to you. It's solely based on his word to you. Oh, I wish I was in an excited church about the promises of God. Abram said, you have given me no children. A servant in my household will be my heir. So I'm going to work it out, Lord. You know how we do. We're going to work it out. Well, this didn't happen. I'm going to do it this way. End up in more trouble. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man would not be. He was talking about Eleazar, I believe. Amen. That was another servant. But the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. God said, I'm going to do just like I said I'm going to do it. He says, I'm not a man that will lie. I'm faithful. I'm committed. I'm loyal. I'm trustworthy. I'm a keeper of covenant. Wow. Okay, so I'm 90-something, and you're telling me and my wife, we're going to have a child, and it's going to be the start of a nation. He took him outside and said, look up to the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offering be, your offspring be. So shall your offspring. So if you can count these stars, this is what's coming out of you. A barren man, a barren woman, this is what's going to come out of you. You believe me. This is what's going to come out of you in your situation. If you will believe my covenant blessing and my covenant word out of your on your life, this is what you're going to have. Even though it doesn't look like it now, even though you don't have it at this present moment, even though all the natural things, amen, that you can add up, there's no way, no way it can happen. This will happen to you if you can believe it. Can we remove ourselves from God's side, God's responsibility? Can we remove ourselves? Let him do what he promised. Let's just stay on the side of just believing. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need a spotter. That's his side. If you indeed count the, I love God's promise to us. It's so much bigger than we are. So much larger than we are. So much more than who we are. Because you know what? He loves the glory. So he'll bring more into our life. Amen. Ain't no way in the world. We'd be like, ain't no way in the world, God. You did this. Amen. My God, this is you. Only you. Next verse. Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, what was his part? God's covenant, which is said in the oath, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you. I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to bring a great nation from you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. Your name is going to be great. Amen. I'm going to do all of this. This is what I'm going to do. God is saying, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. God is saying, this is what I'm going to do. That's my commitment. It's not 50-50, because we can't give God what he gives to us. We can't match him. Come on, let's go to dinner. I got 25. Okay, you got 25. Call $50. 25 to you, 25. Okay, amen. $50. We got it. Let's go. No, no, no. God says, no, no, no. I give the 50. You just believe. Abram said he believed the Lord. It's credit to him. That's his part. That's his contribution. That's his contribution to believe. It's credit to him as righteousness. Let's go to the next verse. This is a great chapter. He also said to him, now that you believe, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur, the Chaldeans, to give you this land and take possession of it. Verse 8. So I'm going to give you some more stuff. You dare to believe me. But Abram says, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? How are you going to give me this, Lord? Now, you done told me out of my loins is going to come a child, which I haven't been able to produce. Now you're about to give me land? Next verse. So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Next verse. Abraham brought all this to him, to God. He said, cut them in two and arrange the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Next verse. The birds of the prey came down on the carcass, but Abram drove them away. Next verse. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep. and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Next verse. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years he was minding him. This is how far I brought you. Know for certain, I know what you've gone through. I know the losses you've suffered. I know the sickness you have to overcome. I know the financial setbacks. I know the interruption in your home, in your marriage. I know everything you've gone through. 400 years, your descendants who are strangers in the country, not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. Next. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out in great possessions. Next verse. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. This is what's going to happen to you. Next verse. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Next verse. When the sun had set and the darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. This is what God did. Courage, y'all stand over here. The pieces were divided in half. You stand here, you stand. Face me, though. Okay. Let me get two other people behind them. Just stand behind them. Just step back just a little bit. And it passed between the pieces. Let's go to next. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land from the wild of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. What this flaming torch was God took and the pieces divided in half, and God walked himself between the pieces, because covenant always came by the shedding of blood. God walked between the pieces of his promise. In other words, God was saying, I got this. This is what I'm going to do. Now, you heard what I said. You heard my oath I gave you. You heard the promises I gave you. Now, I walk between the pieces. Next verse. The land of the Kenizzites and Kadamarites. Amen. Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, all this. Pontiac, Detroit, Redford, Southfield, Gigasites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites. Let's go. Next. Hey, amen. We're in. That's it. We're in. So what he said, I'm going to give you this, and I bear the responsibility of it. He didn't say, Abram, walk between the pieces and give me your half. Sometimes we feel like we got to, how are you going to earn God's goodness? How are you going, what effort are you going to put, what energy are you going to present that's going to match his energy and power to give you the land and the promises? Abraham dared to what? Believe. Thank you, guys. I just want to demonstrate. Come on, give Jesus a praise. He says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. This is what I need you to do. He passed by the pieces. Of course, in the New Testament, Jesus is the blood that establishes the new covenant. Disciples come to him and say, how do we pray? How do we approach you? How do we connect with you in this new testament, this new covenant, this better covenant? Jesus said, this is how you're going to do it. This is how you're going to activate every promise, Even the blessings of Abraham in Galatians 3 is given to believers. So this is how you're going to do it. You're going to pray. The high priest don't have to pray for you. You're going to pray, Our Father. Because our Father is a giver. Because he's a father because he wants to father. He's a father because he wants to father. When we don't have the example of what a father is, we get it from God. We get it from God. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as is in heaven. He's not just teaching them to pray, amen, devotionally, but what he's teaching them is that you have the dominion that I gave Adam and Eve. You have the blessing that I placed on Abraham. This is how you activate all the blessings, promises in the earth for yourself and your city and your region and your territory. This is how you approach me, the God of covenant. Say, your kingdom come just like it is in heaven. Let it be here on earth. That's powerful. I activate that covenant promise that in my home, God's kingdom, his will be established in my home, my marriage, my children, from generation to generation. Thank you, Father, for the covenant promise. And so I pray a covenant prayer. In the name of Jesus. Let's go to the next verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. I activate the covenant promise of provision. Thank you, Father, that I have what I need today. If it needs to show up miraculously, it'll show up. Why? Because this is not just a prayer hoping you hear me. This is my covenantal position. It's praying to a God who's Jehovah Jireh, amen, the provision of the Lord shall be seen. I don't worry about provision because God is my Father. It's my covenantal right. It's a covenantal promise. He has walked between the pieces. Next verse. Forgive us our debts as we also forgiven our debtors. Forgive me, Father. I'm going to release others because I don't want nothing to block my blessing. And so that's my obligation. And forgive me, Lord, as I forgive others. I'm going to keep the line clear. Come on, tell somebody, keep the line clear. Some people hold on forgiveness like you got handles on it. You better let it go. That's one of your responsibilities. Let's go. Next verse. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We need to be delivered from evil. Sometimes we need to be delivered from the evil one. Sometimes we need to be delivered from the evil, amen, relationship. The person that would take us away from God. For anybody that would take you away from God, they're evil. Anybody that would take you away from God, they're evil. Anybody that would take you away from God, they're evil.
Next verse.
If you forgive others their sin and sin against you, your heavenly Father forgive you. Next verse. Amen. Amen. That's an NIV. Amen. I wanted in the King James, because in the King James, of thine art the kingdom and the power and the glory. There we go. For thine art what? The kingdom. You are the king in your domain. You are the power. And you are the glory forever. So it all comes from you. You're the king. The earth is your domain. Heaven's your domain. You're the power and you're the glory. Come on, let's stand. God moves through covenant. God honors covenant. Covenant is his word. The New Testament is a new covenant. The Lord's Prayer is a covenantal prayer. It's not begging. It's not begging. It's not hoping that he hears you as a believer. He hears you before you call. While you're yet speaking, he answers. It's not doubting that he can't heal you or deliver you or this situation will overcome you. It's not going to overcome you because you serve a God that's, he's the power. He's the glory. And sometimes that's a struggle when what's been modeled in our life is disloyalty and unfaithfulness. People that break their word to us. It's hard to see God care about us that much, to that level. But he does. And instead of looking at God through our experience, let's look at people through who God is. Let's change our perspective. Let's change our perspective. We get this, people of God, man, there'll be so many deliverances on our jobs, in our community, because we walk with a covenantal God and we move in that power that he hears us. He always hears us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. From a position of your sons and daughters, and you're our Heavenly Father. And Father, we just take this time, we repent for just thinking of you as we would think of flesh and blood, hoping you'd come through, hoping that you do what you say you're going to do. Undeserving. Feel like we don't deserve your best, don't deserve what we've been praying for. We don't deserve the great promises you've released over our life. We repent of that because it's not about our goodness. It's about Jesus' righteousness paid for by his blood. And we receive his righteousness. And we do like Abram did. We dare to believe you. We believe what you said. We believe what you promise in the name of Jesus. We believe for your redemptive plan over the cities we've been praying for. We believe that as you're lifted up, Father, you're drawing all men and women unto you. We believe that generations will experience the glory and power of Jesus Christ. We decree a thing and it shall be. We decree that churches in our region will be filled to capacity with standing room only. We believe that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And we believe, Father, for the covenant that you have for our families, our marriage, our relationship. If a family member standing near you, just grab them by the hand. Yeah. Come on and just pray in the name of Jesus. Father, every promise you've made to our family, in the name of Jesus, every promise of peace, prosperity, blessing, favor, compassion, mercy, forgiveness. Oh, come on. Yeah, in the name of Jesus. Every wall that's been erected in our family. Keep praying. Listen, where's your daughter? Donna, get your daughter. Where's your son? Right there. Join them. Y'all join mom. In the name of Jesus, re-exercise the authority given to us, Lord. Come on. We exercise the promise that you said that the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. We exercise the covenant word of God that says where two or three are touching and agreeing, by faith it will be done unto us. We thank you for deliverance hitting our house. We thank you for deliverance from addictions, lust, sin, perversion, witchcraft hitting our homes. In the name of Jesus, we break every generational curse in the name of Jesus that has flown through the bloodline in the name of Jesus. Every curse of sickness, every spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus, we break it. We exercise our covenant right, our covenant prayer, our covenant promises in the power of Jesus Christ. We break all miscommunication, confusion, misunderstanding in the name of Jesus. Hey! In the name of Jesus, let every man step forward. Let every woman step forward as covenant believers, loyal, faithful, trustworthy, committed. In the name of Jesus, we recommit our covenant to you, Jesus. To walk with you in obedience. To walk humbly with our God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. There needs to be some recommitment to covenant in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is a new day. Amen. It's not about mistakes and things that happened in the past. Amen. We can renew the covenant. We can renew the commitment. In the name of Jesus, we recommit. We recommit to covenant, to walking with our God, to serving you in humility. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Huh. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And so we invite you in, Father. We invite you into our homes. We invite you in, Father, to walk between the pieces. We invite you in to walk into our homes. We invite you in. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your might being released in our homes in the name of Jesus. Oh God. Now I'll give you a moment. I want you to pray over your home. I want you to pray over your marriage. Come on, what God gives you to pray over your home. Come on, men, pray over your home. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We decree the promises. We decree the peace. We decree the blessing. We decree what you said to us. We thank you for our seed, our children's children. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for long life. We thank you that we will see your goodness. Our family will experience your goodness. We will experience your blessing and favor. In the name of Jesus, come on and decree it in the name of Jesus. Come on and run out every spirit. Run out every spirit that tries to come into your home in the name of Jesus. We run out every spirit. In the name of Jesus. Come on, we're almost done. But if there's a man in the house, I want the man to pray covenantal blessing over your wife, over your children, in the name of Jesus, in the name. Come on and say, I bless my family. I bless them. My family is blessed. I decree blessing over my wife, over my children, over my grandchildren. In the name of Jesus, 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 that hedge is being rebuilt. That hedge is being rebuilt. Those places that are broken down are being rebuilt in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. The last thing, as you're holding hands now, wives, I want you to speak blessing over your husband. Speak blessing over him. I bless this man. I bless him. I bless him with honor. I honor him. God bless him. Lord, as the head of the house, Lord, bless him. Give him wisdom. Give him knowledge. Give him understanding. Let him be a covenantal man. A covenantal man. I honor him. Father, thank you. You give him the power to provide. Thank you that we see Christ in him. Everything that will come against his body, everything that will come against his emotion, everything that will come against his mind, I bind it in the name of Jesus. Oh, oh, in the name of Jesus. Now come on, put your hands together like you believe it and receive it in the name of Jesus. Oh, bless you, Lord. Oh, bless you, Lord.